now more than ever, you need a source of news you can trust. And you have such a source in WYPR. Members are our most important source of funding, and we need you now more than ever so we can continue to keep you informed amid the pandemic with honest, accurate journalism. You can make a pledge at WYPR.org. If you're a sustaining member, consider an additional gift or increasing your monthly pledge. We could not be here without you, and we thank you so much.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. Many people in America bemoan the loss of manufacturing jobs over the course of many decades. But a number of communities across the country have been blessed by the influx of manufacturing jobs, including the Greenville-Spartanburg area in South Carolina, home to a large BMW plant, and Charleston, South Carolina, home to expanding Boeing manufacturing operations. A community that receives a bit less attention is Elkhart, Indiana. But Elkhart is worth considering. It is the self-proclaimed recreational vehicle capital of the world. Manufacturing RVs is such a driver of economic activity that high school graduates there routinely skip college for factory positions offering terrific compensation. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, the demand for workers is so high that a local Kentucky Fried Chicken began offering $150 bonuses. A McDonald's recently failed to open for lunch because managers couldn't find enough workers. In 2009, the Elkhart regional unemployment rate was 20%, effectively the highest in the nation. Today, it sits at around 2%. Since 2009, RV shipments from Elkhart have roughly tripled. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. You will likely remember that in March, the Trump administration launched global tariffs on steel and aluminum. According to newly available research from economists at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York, those tariffs on imported steel are likely to cost the American economy jobs. The research comes in the context of ongoing discussions regarding additional tariffs on goods imported to America, including proposed tariffs on $150 billion worth of Chinese imports. The Federal Reserve research regarding steel tariffs indicates that U.S. steel production has been fairly stable over time, but employment in that sector remains in long-term decline as workers become more productive. Since 2000, output per steelworker has increased by 43%. As indicated in a Wall Street Journal article, the primary issue is that domestic manufacturers face higher costs both from tariff-impacted foreign metal and from American producers raising their prices on steel to match the price of more expensive imports. Ironically, the jobs most at risk, therefore, are at auto, farm equipment, and other manufacturers that use large volumes of steel. The tariffs were passed in part to support U.S. manufacturing. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. America is in the midst of a pension crisis. More than 1 million workers and retirees could lose their pension benefits within the next two decades. As indicated by CNN Money, many of these people worked in construction or were truck drivers who belonged to a union. They paid into union pension funds set up to cover workers from multiple employers. According to a report from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College, approximately 100 of these pension plans are expected to run out of money over the next 20 years. Lawmakers from both major political parties agree that something must be done. It's just not clear what. A major issue is that there are many more retirees than active workers participating in these plans. Approximately 83% of participants in plans facing insolvency are already retired or left their companies for other jobs. What makes the situation even more problematic is that the government agency that normally steps in when a pension plan fails is also in trouble. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation expects its insurance program for multi-employer pension plans will run out of money within 10 years. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. As indicated by a recent Bloomberg article, money may not buy love, but it can purchase better health. And to live as long as possible, many of the world's wealthiest people are spending a lot of money on health care. Longer lifespans, of course, are not simply relevant to the rich. Over the past several decades, the average person's lifespan has expanded almost everywhere in the world. In China, the U.S., and in most of Eastern Europe, the average life expectancy at birth has reached the late 70s, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. People in Western Europe and in Japan can expect to live into their early 80s. But the rich are counting on living even longer, a lot longer, like 2 decades longer on average. In a new UBS Financial Services survey, 53% of wealthy investors indicate that they expect to live to the ripe old age of 100. Hitting triple digits won't be simple, but it's not especially outlandish. The average Japanese woman now enjoys a life expectancy of 87. In the U.S., the richest 1% of American women, as measured by income, live more than 10 years longer than the poorest 1%, according to a 2016 study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. I think we can agree that parental involvement in education generally contributes to a child's eventual success. I think we can also agree that some parents are more engaged in their children's education than others. A new report supplied by the Varkey Foundation, an educational charity, indicates how much time parents put into their children's education, at least into their homework. As reported by The Economist magazine, the survey analyzed 29 nations and determined that parents in developing economies spend much more time helping with homework than their counterparts in richer nations. In India, parents spend 12 hours a week on average helping their kids with their homework. That's 5 hours above the global average. Virtually no parents there indicate that they did not help at all. But in Finland and in Japan, parents only put in around 3 hours on average. Only 5% of Finns indicate that they spend at least 7 hours helping their children with homework, and nearly a third spend no time at all. In Uganda, Peru, Malaysia, and in Brazil, more than 40% of parents worry that they are not doing enough. Americans spend about 6 hours a week helping their children with homework, about 1 hour below the global average. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.